You're listening to a special podcast produced by UMFM 101.5 in partnership with the Winnipeg Folk Festival. Running Thursday, July 5th through Sunday, July 8th at picturesque Birds Hill Park, Winnipeg Folk Festival is a celebration of people and music that has been one of North America's premier outdoor music festivals for over 40 years. I'm Michael Elves, host of Thank God It's Free Range, and this episode spotlights Mick Flannery. Flannery got his start in Blarney in County Cork at the age of 14 and is now an award-winning double platinum artist who lives in County Clare and is currently working on his sixth album. Mick Flannery will be performing at the Spruce Hollow on Friday, July 6th from 3 to 4 p.m. and he'll also be featured in one of three workshops, including Jukebox 74 earlier that day at 11:30 a.m. also at Spruce Hollow. For the full lineup, a complete list of set times, to purchase tickets, and for more information on the Winnipeg Folk Festival, visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca. All right, well, Irish singer-songwriter Mick Flannery's latest is called I Own You. He'll be bringing that as well as music from his five-album back catalog to the Winnipeg Folk Festival this summer. He joins us by phone. How are you doing, Mick?
I'm good. Thank you, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Now, you have a huge string of dates, including a few festival gigs over the summer. Have you started touring this new record?
I have, yeah. I mean, I've toured a good bit in Ireland and some in England. And some in Germany, I believe. The record is a year old. But I've got new, more ambitious management of late. So things are getting a bit better.
Taking it further afield?
Heading states. Yeah, exactly. Going across the Atlantic.
So, as I understand it, you went to Berlin in what is described as a self-imposed exile to write this record. And I'm wondering, was that like a conscientious decision, or had you just like found yourself in Berlin and decided to kind of hunker down? Like what precipitated that?
The self-imposed exile is probably the most hipsterish phrase you can imagine. That was kind of it, though, in fairness. I headed over there kind of on advice of friends of mine who had lived there before and said it was a good place to go. I was just trying to have a new life experience, I guess. I had lived all of my life in Cork in the south of Ireland. So I had tried to live in New York when I was 21, but I kind of chickened out of it.
Now, when you say chickened out, how long did you stay in New York?
Well, I mean, I would have had to try and... I stayed for 3 months for the holiday length visa. I guess it was part of the talk was to just stay on and try and get legitimate visa. But I just didn't do it. I think I was too much of a home bird. And I wasn't ambitious enough, or I wasn't able to talk myself up enough to get places, really.
Did any songs?
I just kind of packed my bags.
Did any songs come of your time in New York, though? Did any songs come of your time in New York?
Yeah. And a couple of times since when I had headed to the States, I've gotten a few songs. Whatever it is about traveling there, or traveling anywhere, really, it tends to kind of make people more creative, I think. New places and people.
Is it like opening yourself up to things that it allows you to do that, to like kind of feel attenuated to write songs?
I think, yeah, maybe that, like, you feel as though once you've bitten the bullet and traveled a bit, you kind of back up that ambitious move with some currency, I guess, which would be the actual music. But I've heard as well that it can, being somewhere where you're not at home, or you don't feel at home, can do things to your, you know, to your brain. It doesn't feel, you know, it doesn't feel safe. So you kind of, you have different thoughts than you might have otherwise when you're kind of in your day-to-day life at home. I guess not just, things aren't as mundane for you. You're in unknown territory and you don't know exactly what you're going to do with your life, I guess. So you have a different train of thought, I guess. So that can throw up new ideas.
Takes you out of your routine in some way.
Yeah.
So then with going to Berlin, obviously there was the intention of writing while you were there, that I'm going to live in a different place and figure out some songs purposefully while I'm in this headspace of, you know, outside of routine.
I think, like, I'm always under pressure from myself to write songs. It's the only kind of pressure I put on myself. But I guess it's the most enjoyable thing that I do. And I'm always kind of half afraid of not being able to do it, or not having the will to do it, I guess. When I went there to Berlin, I didn't really have a specific plan. I just kind of wanted a different life, I guess, from the kind of one I had gotten bored of in Cork. It was kind of fruitful because I was living in a kind of an empty apartment, very bare walls, so there was a lot of natural reverb, and that was kind of good for me to shout at those walls and kind of feel good about myself. And I had a lot of time to myself as well, because I was kind of exiled, as it were. I didn't know a lot of people, so I'd spend most of the days you know, either wandering around or in that room trying to get things, trying to get songs together.
So
it was good for that reason.
In terms of getting songs together, then, for you, is it like a melody line that comes first, or are you writing lyrics first, or how, like, you know, what was the process creatively for this record?
Mostly melody comes first, really. And then kind of the melody dictates to you the words that might fit here and there, syllable wise, or the melody will kind of give you a notion as to what the subject matter would be, if it's going to be aggressive or romantic or serious or not serious. The melody does a lot of dictating in that way.
So you kind of go where the tune sends you?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to shoehorn an aggressive-minded lyrical content into a very soft melody. And it's hard to do the opposite as well. It's hard to put a romantic sonnet into a kind of a rock and roll or even more aggressive type of music, you know. They don't seem to marry.
Right.
So it does, it kind of, it asks for a certain sentiment.
So in terms of the material on the record, then obviously it's from that period, but like, did you feel that there was something that tied the songs together other than the fact that they were, you know, part of this like Berlin process for you?
But with the Berlin one, the album that I kind of chiefly wrote in Berlin was the one previous to this one.
Okay.
This latest one. But those parts of this latest one fed into what I've had as well. The one in Berlin, it actually kind of it mostly kind of centered around actually being isolated, I guess. And there was a lot of kind of self-discovery as to, you know, what I really like. I guess I kind of got to know myself a bit better because I spent so much time with myself. The more recent album was written in Ireland, and I had moved back. This more recent album is a little bit more aggressive, maybe an answer to the kind of quietness of the previous one. But I had been watching a lot more of the news and becoming more kind of socially aware. So some of the songs on the more recent album are more socially aware songs.
Right. As I understand it, the title track, in an interview I read, you said, you know, you'd been watching the news and the stories of American police brutality and the story of Freddie Gray, who'd been handcuffed and then driven around the city. Is that the kind of thing, like, are you often finding yourself like seeing something or hearing something and thinking, oh, this needs to be like a narrative for a song?
I haven't often found those. If I do find a specific thing like that, like the Freddie Gray riots, they don't really find their way into any into the songs in a specific way. But I guess you just get an overall feel for. I guess that song that came out of it was just it was about inequality, and the kind of attendant kind of rage that can come with that. All songs would come from something you see or overhear that kind of has an effect on you. If you're being honest, that is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can force yourself to write about something you don't care about as well.
You joke, but have you ever done that? Like, have you tried to write something from a perspective that you're not necessarily feeling or imbibing?
Well, I've tried to write songs in certain co-writing situations where subject matter is not something that I can empathize with. And I'd notice very soon into the process that I'm not feeling it, I'm not getting it. And I can't, I can't put myself behind it. I can't stand behind it and perform it in a way that's believable, you know. And I kind of, I see myself as an audience member then and say, there's something fraudulent about this.
So it has to come from an honest place for you.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I wouldn't say that's because of that. That's really down to me. It's down to how skillful people are at detecting kind of fraudulence. They can feel if it's not something that you're feeling, you know. you know, it's easy to, like, if I do a gig, and I'm I guess this doesn't happen very often, but it has happened in the past where I might be on a tour and I'm tired or I've drank too much over the last few nights and I'm doing a bad gig. Not a bad gig, but like, I'm tired and I'm obviously not really there. Like, the audience will respond in kind, you know. They won't, you kind of get what you give in that way. Like, so, you know, people are very astute and they can easily tell a fraud, I think.
Right, that they're, I mean, especially, I mean, I lived in Dublin for a year and went to a lot of shows, and they're very, very attentive audiences when it comes to singer-songwriters, maybe more so than some of the bar-drinking patrons in North America sometimes. But I think you have to own the stage and be genuine for an audience to respond in Ireland and in England, especially.
Yeah, there's like just different modes or tactics. I think if you're about to sing quiet songs to a venue, you should probably be honest about it and just sing your quiet songs. You know, any attempt to be too bombastic to try and get the attention is going to fail, because it's not really what you're about. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that with some of singers, and the singers I've noticed it were coming from North America to Ireland, and they had lovely songs, but it seemed that they had been used to shouting into the microphone to kind of get their message over a din of some sort, you know.
Right.
So when they came to the venues in Ireland, they were shouting these songs, these small, not small, but they were tender songs that didn't warrant shouting, you know, but they had been acclimatized to the background din that they felt they needed to, and which is, I thought, was a pity. And I tried to tell them, you know, you can step back and you can just say things in the normal way they were intended, without beating people over the head with it, you know.
Right.
But I guess it takes a while to acclimatize back if you're used to the...
Well, folk festivals, thankfully, are one of the venues where people are attentive and you're not shouting over the din. I'm curious about your experience with folk festivals. What you enjoy about them, or if there's aspects of it that you're not super fond of, or, you know... Give me your read on your experiences with folk fests.
I've always enjoyed them. I enjoy most festivals that I go to, because there's a lack of pressure in a way, because not everybody is there to see you. The ticket price isn't on your back. There's a kind of a nice, you know, pressure, you know, is also there for, you know, to try and ingratiate yourself to the people that are there that don't know you, and, you know, you're trying to make a first impression. And then there's just the bonus of being able to go around and see music, which I always like doing, and I kind of wish I'd do more of, but a festival is a perfect opportunity to do it.
Have you ever discovered an artist you've fallen in love with?
Well, you know, falling in love is probably I've definitely seen artists that I had never heard of before, and I have kind of been listening to since. I was at the Kansas Folk Alliance there in February, and I saw a lot of people that I had never heard of before, and I thought that, you know, it's great to see as well, because it kind of opens my eyes to music and makes me less pessimistic. From listening to the radio, you don't exactly feel overjoyed with what is being put out, so it's nice to hear good lyrics every now and again.
Sure enough. So before we go, Mick, I want to get you to pick a track from I Own You that we can play for the audience. And if there's a reason why you're picking it or an anecdote about the song, I'd love to hear that.
Cool. Well, maybe the title track then would be cool to play, which is the kind of the it's based on the idea of a disenfranchised man. He's fed up completely with the way the world works, and he's taken it upon himself to get into the house of a billionaire, which, you know, you can look at that from a lot of ways. I don't know, but it's an angry song, which was kind of inspired by what we were talking about earlier with the police brutality and inequality.
Right. Well, we'll give that one a listen, and we will circle our calendar for your dates at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. Mick, thanks very much for taking some time, and safe travels over the summer.
Thanks very much, Michael.
All day walk, I ain't had nothing but a concrete hot head. Get a hot head, I get the words wrong, get the meaning right with the left hook. Bunny in the foxhole, rabbit in the headlight, lamb in the lion's den. I don't know why I'm angry, I don't know why they hate me, I don't know why, who, why, where, when. Just that I have nothing, nothing to believe in, nothing to be dreaming, nothing to decide on, only that I have nothing that you imagine, nothing to pretend in, nothing that I choose from. Just that I come tuck me in at night, say I love you, son, dearest to my heart, my darling one. I'm a stray dog walking with his ribcage showing and tongue hanging out, foaming at the mouth. Blue-eyed evil capless pig, hang that fucker in the big white wig. It's a street full of sheep screaming blue murder, a howling wolf at the big house door. Cause they have nothing right. Something on the way home, was that a rustle? Was that my belly rumbling? Later on you think you see a shadow by your front porch, or maybe not though. And then a tap, tap, tap at the window, that's when your legs froze. My God, what's happening? Crack, crack, crack in the glass, and now he's got the handle, and now your front door's open. Swear you have nothing, thinking is he mad at me? Will he hurt me? Don't know, is he just plain crazy? I have nothing, and now he hit me, and now he laugh at me, and he strip me, nigga. I swear I have nothing. Now I see him all around laughing, and he looked down saying that I own you, I own you, I own you. Thank you. running out like that. The walls of the promised land, in the arms of the heartless man. Oh, him blood it run red. His heart and his head. She walks barefoot through the falling snow, and he went with her, but now she goes alone. You told me.
I'm Michael Elves, and you've been listening to a special podcast spotlighting Mick Flannery, who'll be performing on Friday, July 6th from 3 to 4 p.m. at Spruce Hollow at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. To hear more featured artists, visit umfm.com, and be sure to visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca to get tickets to this great event running July 5th through 8th at Birds Hill Park.